This call is being recorded.
I want to welcome you to the June conference call. My name is Jim Shapiro, and with me in studio is Stephen Screen, and we are co-founders of the Better Fundraising Co., and it's our honor to host this call for you today. Before we dig deep into how you can repeat tactics and messages to raise more money in less time, I want you to know how much we appreciate you and the work you do to make the world a better place. You're a fundraiser, and without you, the work of your organization would definitely slow down and possibly not even exist due to the lack of funding. And your donors wouldn't have the pleasure of supporting your organization and your cause. So we're honored that you'd give us a little of your time and your training budget to be with us on this call today. On today's call, we're going to coach you how to save time by repeating your way to success. And we have a lot of tested examples and tips you can use. We've also been blogging about repeating all month, so we encourage you to head over to the blog at betterfundraising.com/blog for several long posts that Stephen's written. And Stephen, my guess is you took your writing pills this month because there's a lot of good content there. So speaking of Stephen, let's get started.
Great. Thank you, Jim. So we're talking this month about repeating. This is part of the Ask, Thank, Report, Repeat fundraising rhythm that Jim and I created and advocate for. And repeating is sort of the least well-known, but probably the most powerful long-term way to fundraising success. And the idea of repeating comes from a couple different places. Number one, if you're like most fundraising professionals or even fundraising volunteers, you are overworked. You have too much to do, not enough time to do it. You probably don't even have time to be on this call. And repeating is a way for you to save a lot of time. If you learn how to repeat well, you're going to do more in less time, and it's going to free up your time to spend on other things, and that's a big deal. And then number two, so one, you're overworked. Number two, repeating works. Repeating the tactics that have worked before and then repeating your best messages within those tactics is a much more effective way to raise money than the standard nonprofit approach of reinventing the wheel each time to keep things fresh for our donors. So as we go through today's call, we're going to give you examples of both of these principles in play, show you how to save time, show you how to raise more money. Excuse me. And we're going to talk about what to say to people at your organization who think that this whole idea of repeating is a bad idea instead of a good idea. And so I want to share, before we get into actual lists and tactics, I want to share one big idea, one thing that you have to remember through this whole thing. That is that the vast majority of your donors are not paying close attention. Just let me give you a couple examples. They don't remember what your Thanksgiving appeal said last year. They don't remember what your back-to-school email said last year. They don't remember what you said at your event last year. They don't even remember what you said earlier in the letter that they're scanning right now. So the thing is that what you want to do is you want to know that's happening and take advantage of it. So if something worked last year, you want to repeat as much of it as you can while only making the necessary changes, or I guess changes that you think would improve it. But you just have to remember that that even though you remember what last year's letter or event or email said, your donors won't remember. Your board might, a couple people on your program staff might, but the fundraising is not for them. It's for your donors who give you, for the most part, a few minutes of attention a few times a year. So, remembering that your donors aren't remembering everything, let's move into some super tactical stuff. Let me give you a list of things that we have repeated before for our clients. And I'm sure there are more examples than this, but I want you to keep this list in mind as you're going through this call for things that you can be repeating, especially this fall as we move into the fundraising season. Okay, here's a list. any year-end, Thanksgiving, back-to-school letters or emails. I should say letters and emails. basically, anything that happens at the same time every year, you can be repeating. So So that's different for every organization. Almost everybody sends out some sort of fundraising at the end of the year, but maybe you do a May Day letter. Maybe you have a July 4th thing. It doesn't matter. You can be doing almost the same thing, and we'll teach you how to do that, in that time slot every year. Next, Facebook campaigns are things we've repeated. Events, we have repeated events and had them go even better the following year, and the following year, and the following year. Giving Tuesday, you do not need to reinvent your stuff for Giving Tuesday this year. You, presuming that you did well last year, you can do the same thing again. Anything that involves renewal, membership renewal, any time you're getting people to come back in, whether, for instance, that's an annual membership, or it's you're trying to get a donation at the beginning of the year, or you're trying to reactivate a lapsed donor, you can be repeating what works best to those folks again and again and again. Another example is what's called a 13th gift strategy. This is for your if you have monthly donors and you're actively trying to get what's called a 13th gift from those monthly donors, you can be repeating those tactics as well. Finally, just a couple more examples. Any sort of sponsorship or monthly giving upgrade campaigns, you can be repeating those. Those are, for instance, when you send a letter to your monthly donors or your sponsors and ask them to give a little bit more each month. We've had great success with those, and you can basically send the same letter each year. Finally, monthly giving recruitment. If you have a bunch of donors and you are trying to upgrade them into monthly donors and you have a letter or an email or a telemarketing campaign that works, you can repeat that campaign every year at the same time with the same messages. You don't need to reinvent the wheel every year. So you name it. If you do it every year, you should be repeating, making slight tweaks to make it better if you need to, but not reinventing the wheel.
Steve, I just heard a collective sigh of relief across the country from fundraisers from West Coast to East. This is really amazing that we can repeat this content. And I know, having been a fundraising director for almost 9 years, I caught myself on this wheel of trying to create new content every time I came across my next letter, my next event. And you and I both know, as you're making this list and sharing it, that's just not the case. People aren't paying attention, and we can repeat what works.
Yeah, and I mean, frankly, that's what the savvy fundraisers are doing. They're saving themselves time and money, recognizing that their donors aren't paying super close attention, and repeating it. Let me just say one thing. It is possible. It's so unlikely, but it's possible. You might get someone to say, a donor, not a board member, not your mom, not the director of program staff, but it's possible you would get someone to say, hey, this letter is a lot like last year's. And if that's the case, what you do is you compliment them, not be fearful. You compliment them and say, wow, you know what, donor, you are paying far closer attention than most donors who never realize it. But you're right. This year's letter is so similar to last year's because last year worked so well. I just want to appreciate you for paying such close attention to our fundraising. So that's a way to compliment your way out of that situation. So we've talked about lists of things that you can be repeating. I'm sure there are more. I hope that you have a couple in your mind that you're already thinking, oh, I don't need to reinvent that this year. Let's talk about how to do it. Because we basically said, if you're doing something that you did the year before and it worked, you can repeat it. So just as a for instance, say you send out a Thanksgiving appeal letter last year and you're going to do another one this year. The very first thing to do is look at last year's Thanksgiving appeal letter and its results. If the results were better than the previous year, repeat it. Don't write a completely new email. Don't design a completely new letter. Make only the minimal number of changes that you need to make.
Stephen, the key there is the results. And we're not going to go into a wide discussion about this, but we need to be tracking the results because it's not just did the letter look good, it's how did it perform.
That's right.
And that's a key in repeating is the results. How did that appeal letter or event produce?
Yep, that's right. That's you can call that the importance of measuring everything. In fact, we have a blog post coming out on Thursday about that very thing. So, again, go to the blog and I share the main metrics we measure for every single fundraising thing that our clients do. But yeah, you got to know whether last year worked or not. Not an opinion, not whether a board member liked it, but how much money you raised versus how much money you spent to do it. So the thing I want to sort of highlight there is you want to make the minimal number of changes that you need to make. This is sort of going back to a principle that I learned from my dad, who used to say, spend every dollar you need to and not a dollar more. And on this so Thanksgiving appeal, you want to spend every moment you need to and not a moment more, because you have other stuff to do. So here, and so let's sort of unpack this a little bit. So, and here are my general rules for repeating. It can mean sending the exact same thing. There's a famous story about an organization in New York City that works with animals that has sent the exact same Christmas letter, something like 22 or 23 years in a row. Same letter, no changes, no design changes, and it keeps working better every year. They've even tried other letters, but they can't beat that letter. So they keep sending it every single year. So all that to say is when you're repeating, you can actually send the same thing. I'll tell you one more story about that in a second. But there are a couple of other ways to repeat as well. You can send the same letter or email again, but just slightly reworded. Maybe you open the letter a little differently, meaning the first paragraph is a little different or the last paragraph is a little different. But you can be repeating words, phrases, paragraphs, even pages in the middle of your letter. You can run the same event again, but have a different beneficiary speaker, meaning you could be asking, the program could be in the same order, the theme could be the same, the offer could be the same, even the speech from the executive director could be 80 or 90% the same, just updated for that year, and have a different beneficiary speaker, but you've repeated your event because it worked so well. And like I said earlier, in some cases you can send the exact same thing. My podcast partner Jeff Brooks tells a story about an organization that sends they send out an appeal letter every month. And one month they accidentally sent out the same appeal letter that they had sent out the previous month. So you know they sent out the April appeal again in May, and in May it raised more money than it did in April. Which is remarkable, but that speaks to a couple things that I'm going to mention later about the science of repeating messages. And when you repeat messages, they sound more true and more important. I know that goes against everything that most nonprofits think, but repeating is really good. And then the other example I'll share is I heard about an organization that in their year-end emails, you know how most organizations have a 3 or 4 email string at the end of the year. This organization, rather than doing 3 or 4 different emails, they sent the same exact email the last 4 days of each of the last 4 days of the year to half their email addresses. And then to the other half of email addresses, they sent 4 unique emails. And the group that got the same email 4 days in a row raised more money. So all, remember, so part of what we're doing, the big picture of this whole conversation about repeating, the big picture of this call is reminding us that our donors aren't paying as close attention as we think. And again, I'm going to get into this in a little bit, but reminding us of how repeating what we say is a really powerful tool, because not everybody gets it, understands it, or hears it the first time you say it.
Stephen, when you're talking, I can think of example after example. I was in a meeting last week, and we were talking about one of the giving days that happened here in Seattle, the Give Big day, and the client was saying, every time I push the email button to send out an email, they raise more money.
Yeah.
And they were repeating a lot of the same messages. It's such a proven principle. But I have to think there are things we need to watch out for. I have to think that this isn't just, you know, repeat, based on just performance.
Yep.
Are there things we should be looking out for as we're looking at repeating what works?
Yes. So a couple things, and that's a really good question. So let's go back to that Thanksgiving letter example. Say you're going to repeat your Thanksgiving letter from last year because it did really good. And as you're listening, substitute anything that you are already thinking about repeating for this year. So the first thing to do is scan it for any detail that was true last year but is not this year. For instance, say you have a new executive director, so the signature at the end of the letter needs to be different. Say the cost of whatever it is that you're asking for people to do, say you're asking people to provide Thanksgiving meals for $1.92, but this year it's gone to $1.94. Then you need to update the cost for the meals in the letter. Say your organization has added something new and you need to mention that. Well, mention that. That's no problem. But those are the only types of things that you need to change. So that's number one. Number two, does the story need to be updated? A lot of nonprofit fundraising letters contain a story about a person that illustrates a need. And usually what we do is we take out that story and replace it with a new story. But the rest of the letter does not have to change. And by the way, I alluded to this earlier, the same is true for events. You can run the same event you ran last year with a new beneficiary story in the middle and have the same great success you had last year. Because the people in the room, well, first of all, a lot of them were not in the room last year. And even the ones who were in the room last year aren't going to remember everything that you did. In fact, one of the things we have our clients repeat all the time is their event videos. And what happens is the more years in a row they repeat those videos up to a point, the more compliments they get on the video. Because people need to see things multiple times before it makes sense. The staff is bored with it, of course. The board is bored with it, of course. But the donors, who it's for, are just beginning to understand. So, number one, change any detail that was true last year, as you're repeating. Number two, update the story if you need to. And then number three, don't do too much. Don't make too many changes just because you're in there. Once you open up the hood, again, do everything you need to do and not one thing more. Spend every moment you need to and not one moment more, because you have other things to be doing, and changing the letter more is not going to help you. So let me sort of write, or rather tell a story that illustrates this a little bit, which is I used to write appeal letters and emails for the Salvation Army, and they're a fundraising machine that has all this stuff down to a science. By the way, for those of you out there at small nonprofits who have people in the organization who think that fundraising is not a science and that is bad, you want science in your fundraising. And frankly, a lot of your donors give to the Salvation Army too, so it's working whether you're embracing it or not. I really want you to embrace being a fundraising machine and applying science and repeating all this stuff. So anyway, most of the time when I was writing letters for the Army, I would receive instructions that went something like this. Here's last year's letter. It worked really, really great. Update it for this year, only updating what's necessary, and don't screw it up. And as a creative person who wants to be artistic, who wants to make write letters that would make people cry, that's not particularly inspiring. Do what you did last year, but update it. And don't mess it up. Again, not that inspiring. But that's how you build a mature fundraising program that raises the big bucks. You take something that works, you repeat it, you refine it, you look for little ways to make it better every year. You watch the results super closely, and you look for what your donors love as told through their giving. And if you do that, over time, you create this money-raising machine that allows you to do so much good in the world. I can't emphasize that enough. All of the really big organizations in the country are repeating their way to success. They're sending the same letter the third week of the month every year, making slight tweaks and trying to make it better. They're not reinventing the wheel. It's a machine that they're constantly tweaking to make more efficient. And as fundraisers at small and medium-sized organizations, we should be adopting some of those practices too.
You know, Stephen, you're using the word machine, which you and I get and understand, because that's systems, that's repeating, that's doing what works, it's measuring things through performance and data. But I also want folks on this call to recognize we know that there is a donor at the center of this conversation. that she has a heart, she has emotions, that we want to be, you know, in relationship with that donor.
Yep.
And so just because we're creating a system, because we're creating what we're calling a fundraising machine, does not mean that we're cold, that we're harsh, that we're selling necessarily, you know, like from a what people think of maybe from like a sales perspective. This is very much relationship fundraising, and we're talking to the donor, about her role in the life of a beneficiary or
the life
of the organization.
So really, we're not talking that much about making the creative, the what you say to the donor, a machine. We're talking about the systems approach by which you run your fundraising machine. So that's a good point of clarification. You still have to be human. You still have to touch her emotions and her heart. But if you are improving your stuff every year and only making the changes that you need to make, you're going to raise more money with less effort. And frankly, a lot of people don't like hearing this. They want to be creative. They want to love the fundraising they send out, and they're bored with the fifth Thanksgiving appeal that looks about the same as the previous four. And we get that. There are a lot of creative people in the fundraising industry, and this information is often hard for them to hear. But if you look at the results, it becomes really obvious that if you repeat what worked before, you have just increased your chances of raising more money the following year than if you reinvent the wheel and do something new this year. You're going to be tired. So one of the consequences of repeating is you're going to be tired of doing what you've been doing. So will your boss. So will your board. You're going to hear things like, can we do it differently this year? And you are going to want to do it differently too. You're going to want to sort of come up with a new theme. But I guess what we're trying to say is sort of that's an itch that isn't necessarily good to scratch. So we're working with a client later this week on their next fundraising event. And like most nonprofits, there's this kind of unexamined assumption that we need to do something different this year. And so the Jim and I go to a lot of meetings like this, and the very first question is in the meeting is, especially about events, is, okay, what's our theme going to be for this year? And our advice to this client and all our clients is that that's the wrong question to be asking. If they had a successful event last year, the question they should be asking is, what's the least amount of things we can change with the goal of helping donors see the need for and the power of their gift? That's it. That's the question. What's the least amount of work we can do to eliminate the barrier and weight on staff time to raise the same or even more money? And what should we do different this year, or what should our theme be this year, is a question that sends you in the wrong direction the vast, vast majority of the time.
You know, Stephen, I'm always trying to put myself in the shoes of the fundraising director. And as you're talking, I'm realizing, and I probably did this in my early years as well, that I have a successful event, and so I know I need to raise more money next year, which makes me feel like I need to do something new, fresh, you know, over and above what I did last year.
Yep.
And we have proven, we've seen it. In fact, we have a client this last year who has been repeating the last 4 years their offer, their event structure, the name of the event, and exponentially have been raising more money. So I guess I'm saying I can understand the feeling why I need to do something fresh and new, but what we're saying here is repeat what works and just get more people in the room and make it better in little ways so you can raise more money.
Yeah. Like taking a theme and repeating it and taking all that extra time you just saved and spending that extra time on getting more people in the room is going to raise you more money than having a new theme this year. And that's just one example. Let's see. You don't want to cause the problems that happen when you invent new themes of A, it's risky because you don't know if that theme is going to resonate with your donors, and B, you're taking a whole lot of time that you could be using to do something else. But the whole point of this is to acknowledge that repeating is hard at first. People aren't crazy about it, and we identified three main reasons that repeating is hard. And so right now what I'm kind of talking about is for if you're listening and you think people are going to push back and say, no, we can't do this, This right here is are your talking points to them. Number one, it's usually less enjoyable to repeat something than to do something new. Right? Creative people like making new things. We like coming up with new ways of doing things. So when we're told that we're just going to tweak last year's thing, or even told that coming up with something new for this year is not a good use of time and it's going to raise less money, that does not feel good. So what you want to do there is acknowledge that it doesn't feel as good to repeat. Then number two, it's hard because repeating does not feel like hard work. You know exactly what you did at last event. You know exactly what last year's letter said. You have what's called the curse of expertise, and you can't imagine that other people don't remember just like you do, but they don't. And so it feels like you're taking the easy way out, and in a way, you are, even though it feels hard.
So it feels hard, and I think we need to dig a little bit deeper into Stephen as to why it feels hard. But before we do, just want to remind folks they can email me, jim@betterfundraising.com. And I had a question come through from someone who does a lot of work with major donors. And their question is, how do we track the success of an appeal letter with major donors when there are other touches in play, like visits, thank you notes, phone calls? And really, I guess there, for this person asking the question, it's really a matter of, even with that major donor, repeating what works. If the offer last year secured a $10,000 gift, that most likely they're telling you they liked what they were asked to do. Mm-hmm. And if you thank them using our system of thanking and reporting, you thank them for their gift and told them what their gift accomplished, odds are you should repeat that same offer or ask, but maybe ask them for more money, ask them for $15,000 or $20,000 this year to do more good. So I guess in this particular case, we're not going to tie the performance directly to just that appeal letter. If you're just sending a letter or that face-to-face ask, you're tying it to the overall performance of your work with that donor throughout the calendar year.
Yeah, and you can also track the performance of those letters. If you have, say you have one program in your organization and you keep offering to donors the chances to support that program or outcome, and they continue to not respond, then you know that that is not working and is not something you should repeat. But, for instance, one thing that works all the time in major donor fundraising, in our experience, is a year-end letter. That keeps working, even though major gifts officers tend to think it's just going to stop working at some point. But it keeps working. So we always advocate to, if the donor hasn't given a gift recently, to send a year-end letter to major donors. And then you can track. I mean, so I've worked with very large major gift programs where there's, you know, multiple thousands of majors, and we would be sending hundreds of letters out, I mean, the same letter to hundreds of people. And we would do tests. One interesting test we did, by the way, was we took all an organization's major donors, and we split them in half and sent the exact same letter to each group with one change. One half of the major donors had the donor's name in larger type on the cover of the prospectus. That was the only change. And that half of donors, that group of donors, raised more money. All that's a little bit of a side story, but all of that is to say you can still be tracking your major donor fundraising and evaluating it.
Yep, that's a big takeaway. Majors to mids to mass, tracking it, evaluating it, repeating it. Stephen, we talked kind of big picture why this repeating function is hard. Do you want to dig a little bit deeper into some of the thinking as to why it's hard?
Well, I want to mention the third thing, which is you're going to get complaints. You're going to get pushback from people who matter to you, right? Your fellow staff, your higher-ups, your board members. But they, too, have this unexamined assumption that things need to be new and different to work. And we're just acknowledging that it's hard. It's not enjoyable to get the pushback from those people, especially if it's your boss.
Yeah, that's hard.
And that's really tricky. So we're going to get into science here for how this works. But I still want to sell you on the idea of repeating so that you'll feel more comfortable doing it and so that you can defend it to your bosses and the higher-ups. As you're defending it, the first thing to talk about is how repeating is a proven lesson from advertising, from the advertising world, that's really helpful for fundraisers to remember. So just a couple of examples. Number one, if you ever watch any particular TV shows or really in particular sporting events, you'll notice that, for instance, a car company will air the same ad 4 times in just an hour or two. Why? Because they want you to see that ad multiple times. Why? Because they know that if you see the ad multiple times, you're more likely to remember it and to buy their car. So they are using the concept of repetition. They repeat the exact same thing multiple times because they know that makes you more likely to do what they want you to do. Map that over to a nonprofit experience, and that's why you want to be sending the same message multiple times within a short period of time to your donors, because that makes them more likely to do what you want them to do what you need them to do, which is fund your cause or your mission and help your beneficiaries. Second example is that, so I previously in my career, I used to buy a lot of radio ads for advertisers. And the goal, whenever we were buying radio ads for a particular week, was to have each listener hear the same ad 3 times in 1 week. Why? We did that because when we got our radio schedules to do that, we saw the number of sales go up. So we unfortunately, in the nonprofit fundraising world, have this idea that we can't say anything to our donors more than once, and we usually can't talk to them more than once a month. And that is unfortunate, because this idea of repeating the same message in a short period of time is a really powerful truth that the advertising world has unearthed, and we should be applying that to our fundraising. So that's one big way to say to your bosses, hey, hold on, I'm just applying this thing, this truth from the advertising world, to fundraising. Number two is all about science. And there are a couple reasons that being repetitive is so helpful and so effective. Number one, the more people read and hear something, the more likely they are to think that it is true and important. Let me say that again. The more people read and hear something, the more likely they are to think that it's true and important. If you look at any of the studies about what repetition does to the human brain, you can see that up to a point, it is a really, really good thing for helping people remember you and remember your message. And most nonprofits are nowhere near the threshold where repetition becomes bad. So when you repeat words and phrases like, your help is needed today, or your gift made a really big difference, if you keep on repeating those phrases and those ideas, your donor is more likely to believe them, to think that she's needed, to think that her gift makes a difference, and then to take action. So we blogged on this month. You can go look up at the thing that we quoted, but I'll just read one part of one sentence. Repeated statements are perceived as more valid than novel ones. Isn't that interesting, and shouldn't all small nonprofits take note of that, who always want to be talking about what they do a little differently? You want to be repeating things, and it's going to be seen as more valid. Okay, so that's the science. And then the other part of the science is it's really good to remember that most of your donors don't read or see or listen to your whole message. For instance, most of your donors are scanning your letters and your emails and your website. They are not reading the whole thing. On our blog this month, we showed what's called a heat map, which shows where a donor's eyes tend to go as they look at a direct mail letter. You should go to the blog and take a look, because for those of us visual learners like me, it's super helpful to see. But here's the deal in a nutshell. Donors look at the top of your letter, they look at the start of your letter, and they look at the end of your letter. And so, in other words, they don't read the whole thing. Now, again, your board reads the whole thing, your program people read the whole thing, and you've got to write the whole thing. But if you know this, and you know that repeating things makes more donors likely to think that what you're saying is true and important, what do you do? Well, so savvy fundraising writers, repeat the main ideas and repeat the call to action in those places in the letter to increase the chances that your donor sees it a couple of times and then takes action. And so now you see why pro fundraising writers repeat that message so often, and why the beginnings and endings of letters tend to be repetitive, because the writers are doing that on purpose. And then the final thing to point out is right? This is part of the reason why most nonprofit fundraising letters are pretty ineffective, because they tend to only ask once for support, and they tend to do it about two-thirds of the way through the letter, where most of your donors don't read it. So that's a little bit of a rant there, but that's why effective direct mail is repetitive and tends to look the way it does.
Yeah, Stephen, we're in that category of trying to convince our boss. That's my term,
yep.
not what you said, but there's one other idea that comes to mind, and then I'm confident you have some tricks for us that we're going to be able to learn from, because I know that you are the expert in this field. But the idea that came to mind was, for my boss or for my board, performance. I'm stuck on this performance thing. How to convince them is if this stuff actually works. When we're repeating and we show more revenue coming in, I know that my CFO, when I worked for a nonprofit, and my board president wanted to know how we were performing time and time and time again. So that's another way to convince them is to apply all that Stephen has been sharing today, and then to again track their performance and hopefully show that you're raising more money over time because you are repeating, because you are communicating more often. Mm-hmm. Money definitely talks.
Yeah, I mean, here's a super simple way to test that. Take the next couple of emails that you're sending out to your donors or you're asking for money, and rather than doing two unique emails, do the same email twice in a row. Or take half your email list and repeat the same email two or three times in a row to them versus two or three unique emails to the other half and see what happens. You can do these same sorts of tests in email with your website on direct mail. But the other thing you can do, and I know this is hard, but you can trust us. We've tested all these things. All of this is stuff that direct mail, radio, TV, and now email have figured out over the last 60 years. This stuff works, and we're just trying to explain why it works.
Yep. It does work, and it works really well. So trust us is a key thing.
Yeah, I always feel bad saying that. I always feel like, here's a four-point theorem for why this works. But at some level, we hope that you trust us to help take 60 years of fundraising learning and distill it down into some actionable stuff for you.
Yeah, which is a great segue, because I know folks get on these calls and they want actionable things, Stephen, they can do even tomorrow or with their next mailing or with their next email. So do you have a couple tips that you could share with us specific to what folks could be doing next in some of their communities?
Yeah, so two main things. Number one, the concept of follow-up mailings or follow-up emails. If you have sent something to your donors that successfully raised money, you can ask them to do that same thing again in a follow-up email or a follow-up letter. And what we've noticed over the years is that for basically anything important that you're raising money for, you can send a follow-up mailing and raise about one-third the revenue that your original mailing raised. So, for instance, if you normally raise $20,000 for your back-to-school campaign, you can send another letter and you'll raise about $7,500. So what you want to do is go look at all your big fundraising pushes over the years, over the course of the year, where you just send out one thing and look to see if it would make sense to send out another thing. For instance, if you're only raising, if you raise $7,000 in that back-to-school appeal, but it costs you $2,000 to send out a mailing, well, then sending out another mailing at $2,000 to only raise about $2,500 probably doesn't make sense. But if you raised $20,000 in your first back-to-school mailing, you can guess that there's about $7,000 in additional revenue out there if you'll send another mailing. So if it only costs $2,000 for you to send that second mailing, then you're going to net $5,000 more. And if $5,000 is worth it, if it's more than you could be raising talking about anything else during that span of time, go for it. This is why so many big nonprofits send second and even third follow-up mailings. It's because this tactic works. And it's because that not all of your donors got your first mailing. And it's because not all of your donors were convinced by your first mailing, and they need a second mailing or email or phone call to convince them that this is important. The other thing I'll say here is that there are no negative effects to doing this. Somebody at your organization is going to be a little worried. Oh, well, we can't ask people to do this again. Well, think of it this way. less than, if you send out an email, probably less than one-third of your donors opened the email. So two-thirds of your donors didn't even hear about it. They're not going to be bothered to be asked again. And if you send out a letter, less than half of your donors opened the letter. So that means that half of your donors did not get the letter and aren't going to be bothered by being asked again. You just have to remember the massive number of people who don't get each communication you send out.
You know, Stephen, it's common when we're teaching this principle for us to still get pushback, even though we've been at this, you know, combined 60-plus years of experience and all the things we have going on, we still get pushback. And so one little trick that I have found, and I covet your opinion on this, is to send the exact same email again, but use just a slightly different opening. Something like, "Dear Stephen, you may have missed this email I sent 2 days ago."
Yep.
And then the rest of the copy of the rest of the email is exactly the same.
Yeah. So that's one of two really good techniques in a follow-up letter or a follow-up email. You can insert some language there that is, in effect, copying what's been done in direct mail for 60 years, where you say, "If you just sent in a gift to this, please accept my apologies. Our letters have crossed in the mail." Mm-hmm. So you can use that idea in email or in a letter, and then you just launch into the rest of your letter. The other thing that you can do in email, and we've done this with great success, is just forward the previous email with about a one or two sentence introduction. Literally, forward the previous email with a one or two sentence introduction that just says, "Dear donor name, this was super important, and I wanted to make sure you saw it." Now, sophisticated email programs, you can resend emails to everybody who didn't open the first one. There's all sorts of like nitty-gritty we can get into there, but most organizations don't have those capabilities. So, but the forward important emails again, so you get that second impression, and you'll raise more money. If this goes back, Jim, to your story about the guy who every time I sent another email, I raised more money. And that is so true for most organizations who don't take advantage of it.
Even this is slightly off topic, but a question came through regarding acquisition. And does this repeating of the second mailing or the second email or repetition still apply to donors you're trying to acquire?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, donors you are trying to acquire tend to need to hear the message more often because it's new to them. They have no familiarity with your organization. They don't know what it is their gift will do through you, so you need to tell them a couple times. I saw some research years ago that most of the people who responded to direct mail acquisition had seen the exact same letter six times before. So on average, the people who were responding had, it was their sixth time receiving the letter. So, and again, that's why the big charities are comfortable repeating themselves, because they know that people need to hear a message multiple times. Most people need to hear a message multiple times before they'll take action. So that's a really great question. The final sort of thing I want to unpack here is another piece of pushback that we get about repeating, and that's we're trying today to tell you both to repeat the tactics that work, right? If the Thanksgiving letter worked last year, do it again this year. And repeat the messages that worked, to be repetitive in your fundraising. Now, when we get to that point, people say, wait a minute, how can I be repetitive and not sound like a robot or like the writing is really bad? How can I do this and have it still sound good? Well, let me give you the simplest trick I can tell you. And it basically goes something like this. Each time you repeat what your donor's gift is going to do, add another reason for them to give today. Now, well, let me give you an example of this from a letter that was done not by us, not by a professional writer, but an organization that we work with and we coached them on how to do something. They're a small local food bank. And their offer is to feed one person for $12.50 a month. They repeated that offer five times in a letter, but each time they did it, they added another little wrinkle that gave the donor another reason to give today. So, for instance, at the beginning of the letter, they just said, "See how you can feed one person for $12.50 a month." Then the second time they did it, they said, "Your generous donation of $12.50 will help begin this family's journey back to financial stability and security with one box of food." Okay, great. So in addition to one box of food, I'm also helping a family begin a journey back to stability. Then they talked about how a beneficiary getting a box of food said, "What I got was so much more than a box of food." That right there tells the donor that the organization does more for these folks than just handing them a box of food. Later on in the letter, they say, "Your generous donation of $12.50 by July 15th will provide one person with four boxes of food this month." Wow, so it's not just one box of food for $12.50, it's four boxes of food for $12.50. That's incredible. And I've been provided a deadline that is pretty soon, so that gives me another reason to give today. And then finally, in the PS of the letter, just $12.50 provides four boxes of food to someone in your community who needs a helping hand to get back on their feet. So again, another mention of the $12.50 provides the box of food, and another reason to give today, to give someone a helping hand to get back on their feet. So if you read that letter, you, as a professional fundraiser, would notice that it's repetitive. But for when a donor looks at it, she just sees a lot of reasons to give today. So for her, it's not such a repetitive experience. To your donor, this feels like you know what you're focusing on. It feels like you are showing her exactly what she can do to have the largest, most powerful impact. Now compare that to most nonprofit fundraising letters who talk about every single program the organization has, who talk about what the weather is like today, and who talk about people who have already been helped. So, right, compare those things with going deep on one issue and giving donors more and more reasons to do one powerful thing. Donors love that stuff. They love that. That's repetition, but they don't know it, and they become more likely to give a gift. And that's really attractive to donors. And frankly, just to go a little deeper, that means you've done your job as a fundraiser and edited out all the things that your donor doesn't need to know, and instead told her a lot about what she does need to know. That, to a donor, shows that you value her attention and that you care about what she cares about. And to bring all this back to sort of what Jim said earlier, doesn't that seem like a fantastic way to a donor's heart? To talk about what she cares about, to sort of relentlessly try to talk about what she cares about and help her do what she cares about. And to show her that you value her attention. Rather than telling her all the things and doing it differently each time, I hope that you're seeing that these repeating of tactics and repeating of messages is really a form of donor love that helps donors know that this organization cares about them and helps them do more of what they would like to do in the world. You do those things and your donations are going up.
Even I feel like you just landed the conversation. I get encouraged because it's about the donor and things like donor love and relationship. And this is really at the heart of what we do in Ask, Think, Report, Repeat. I feel like this has been a really fruitful call. And so thank you for taking us through repeating. This is probably the least understood but most powerful part of Ask, Think, Report, Repeat. And so it's worth our time to be talking about today and also the blog again. There's plenty of content there. Stephen did write a lot of good content this month. So please go back and review that. Also, another thought is just know you're going to get a call recording here. So you get this call, you can go back and listen to the things that Stephen shared and take notes, and feel free to shoot us questions as you go back through the call.
Yeah, and so my last main point is that if you're listening, I'm really hopeful that you're doing two things. One, you're scanning through your fundraising year, looking for things that did well last year that you can repeat this year to save time and raise more money, right? That is sort of the closest thing to a silver bullet in fundraising. You can repeat what worked last year to save time and raise more money. Hopefully, we just freed up several hours, if not days, in your schedule. And then number two, as you are creating and reviewing your fundraising materials, I hope that you now sort of see a way to be repetitive in your fundraising materials, both knowing that that's going to help your donor, it's going to be a service to her, and it's going to help you raise more money. It feels a little weird at first, right? Let's acknowledge that. But once you know that donors aren't reading the whole thing and they don't remember what you said last year, it really becomes a service to them to focus on the most important things, the things that they really care about. So you, now as you're creating and reviewing your fundraising materials, you'll make sure that they are more repetitive to make it more helpful to a donor to very quickly understand what she can do with her gift and how powerful it is. That is super donor centricity, right? That's donor love in a nutshell. It requires some self-sacrifice because it means that you're not talking about everything that your organization does. It requires some discipline because it's a little weird to focus this way, but it's totally fruitful and it works like crazy.
That's great. Stephen, it's time for questions. We have a question in the email inbox, and others can email as well to jim@betterfundraising.com.
Love it.
This is from a new follower of ours, which is great. Thank you for following and following the blog. They're wondering, ask, think, report, repeat, this rhythm that we've created, the system that we've created. What's the pace? How quickly can you run a donor through asking, thanking, reporting? Maybe if they're a mass, if they're a mid or a major, is there a different pace for each?
Why don't I give the mass donor answer and you give the mid donor answer? First of all, great question. So most small organizations are taking their donors through this two or three times a year. What that means is they have a couple three appeals each year and a couple three newsletters each year. So those appeals are fulfilling the ask portion of the rhythm. The newsletters are fulfilling the report portion of the rhythm. And that any time a donor gives a gift, they get thanked. So basically, when they ideally, you're thanking them within a couple of days after they give a gift. So they've been asked, they gave a gift, they feel great, then you thank them. Then they feel great, they know that their gift was acknowledged. And then within a couple of months, ideally, you report back to them so that they see and feel that their gift made a difference. And the big thing there is, you know, most organizations don't do a great job of reporting. In Jim's and my sort of teaching and training about this, we see that it's about 15% of organizations who come hear us talk are doing a good job of reporting. But you want to be reporting to your donors multiple times per year so that no donor has to wait 6 months to hear that their gift made a difference. So, and because mass donor fundraising is not a one-to-one relationship, it's a one-to-many, organizations have an ongoing stream of relevant communications where they send out a handful of appeals, a handful of newsletters a year, hoping to get their donors to give a gift and then report back to them soon. Now, that's the mass donor side. On the major donor side, you can go one-to-one.
Yeah, and just kind of define this mass, it's both, there's probably more of them, and they're giving you smaller gifts. So it could be anyone giving you maybe $1 to $499 might be a range, might call the mass. The mid might be 500 to 999, and then majors might be over 1,000. Every organization has a different level, but we look at them in segments, in these particular segments, and the major donor rhythm is going to be much slower because hopefully these major donors are writing you checks for $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, or even $1,000. Would it make much sense for me to ask a donor for $5,000 today to get a gift, to thank them, to report back to them, and then to ask them for another $5,000 in a month or so? No, because the dollar amount is higher, the investment is higher. So we just slow the rhythm down a little bit. It's more thanking and more reporting in between the ask or the appeal. In my perfect fundraising world, you would have a set time of year that you're talking to your major donors or a major donor about their giving, and then the other, you know, 10, 11 months out of the year, you're thanking, reporting. And if there's a special emergency or a special opportunity or a special offer that comes up, you can call them again and ask for a gift. So we slow it down for our majors. But here's the beauty of it, and Stephen, this is why I love the work that we do, because most likely, much of the content that you are creating for your mass, you can use or repurpose for your mids and for your majors. That newsletter that you write for your mass donor most likely is and could be used for your majors or your mids. Maybe you're going to treat it a little bit differently, put a cover letter on it, or hand address the outer envelope, or have it couriered over by a courier, but you can still use a majority of the content. And so there again, you don't need to always be creating new content for every segment as well. So slow it down for your mids and your majors, but most likely you're using much of the same content that you would create.
Yeah, and so for mass donors, you never really know whether they have been reported to, because you don't know if they opened your newsletter, you don't know if they opened your next appeal letter. But for major donors, you can find out, and you can be in relationship with them. And you can make sure that the donor has been well thanked and feels that way. You can make sure that the donor has been well reported to and feels that way before you ask them again.
Yep, that's good.
Great.
Well, that's it for our questions. We've answered questions along the way. And again, the email never shuts down. So you can always email me, jim@betterfundraising.com, to ask specific questions about repeating, to learn more about Better Fundraising and how we can help you create great appeals, newsletters. We do a lot of good work out there in the community as well. So You know, as we leave this call, I want to give you a final thought. And really the thought is just thank you for being a fundraiser. Thank you for listening in and wanting to improve your fundraising. Stephen and I truly believe that if you apply what you learned today, your fundraising confidence will grow, you'll save time, and you'll raise more money. So you play an important role in making the world a better place. And so on behalf of myself and Stephen, we say thank you.
Yep. Thanks for listening.